There's a Rashi in the beginning of this week's Sedra. Rashi says, Vayera ilov Hashem be'lonei mamre. God appeared to Avram in a lone mamre, in the by the trees of Mamre. So Rashi says, Hu shenosen lo eitza al hamila. This Mamre was the one who gave him advice concerning the bris milah. L'fichach nigla ala b'chelko. And therefore God appeared to Avram in his portion as a reward for the advice that he gave Avram Avinu. So the obvious question is, which many of the Mefarshim already ask, Avram Avinu needs advice from his Agoy, right? Should he make the bris? What kind of advice could he possibly have asked? So they say in a novel explanation that we're reading the word wrong. It's not Eitzah, but it's Otzeh. The word Otzeh is a kind of... not spice, what am I looking for? Kind of medication that he advised Avram to use after the operation. And we find that that word is used in the Gemara as a medication. So that's what it means. He gave him this otze, and there's a chizkuni. Chizkuni is one of the Rishonim. He says that he gave him advice about the bandaging of the milah. Okay, all of that's very nice, but there are sources that clearly say that Avram Avinu asked for advice, and what advice he got. And let me read you some of them. First is a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says it then, like this: V'loma nikra shmo Mamre. Why was he called Mamre? Shehim raponim bi Avram, because he basically said things to Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu had to hear. Why? B'shoa shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram lamul, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram to circumcise himself, holach v'nimlach b'gibel ohavav, Avram went and he asked advice from his three friends. Omer le Oner, so his first friend, Oner, said to him, k'ven me'a shona ata, you're about 100 years old, v'ata holech l'mitzayres atzmecha, you're going to pain yourself in such a drastic way? Omer le Eshkol, he went to Eshkol. He said, Ma ata holech mesayif esatzmecha, you're committing suicide. You're putting a sword to yourself. Bein sonecha, amongst your enemies. And we'll see from the other Medrashim, it explains more what the problem was. Omer le Mamre, so he went to his friend Mamre. Omer le, he said to him, Elokecha, your God, who stood up for you by the fiery furnace and saved you, Uva Malachim, he saved you from the four kings, Uva Ravan, he saved you during the famine, and you have a doubt whether you should listen to him in his command for you to circumcise yourself. Omer le, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atana Satalo Eitz Olomu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Mamre, you gave him good advice that he should follow my command. Chayecha Shani Nigla Olav, Lo Bepalten Shul Oner, Velo Bepalten Shul Eshkol, El Bepalten Shul Cha. I'm going to appear to him not in Oner or Eshkol's palaces, but in yours. So here it's clear that it's not any kind of medication or whatever. It was a clear case of asking advice. And Avram Avinu got advice from two of his friends not to do it, seemingly, and from Mamre to yes, do it. And the question again is, why does Avram Avinu need advice altogether? And we'll see, there's more questions here, but let's see some of the other sources. In Medrash Tanchuma, it says the following: the Loma Be'lone Mamre, why did God appear to him in the Elone Mamre, in this orchard of Mamre? God does not hold back reward from any creation. Gimel Oavim Hayola Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had three dear friends. Honor Eshkel Umamri. The Kivan Shomer Lo Akadish Baruch Hu Shiyomo, when God told him to circumcise himself, Holak Lokachas Mem Eitza. He went to ask advice from these three friends. Holak Eitzel Honor. He went to Aner, Omar Kach B'Kach, Omar Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, this is what God told me. Omer le Onner answered him, Balmum rotzata lasoscha, you want to make yourself into a Balmum? You want to blemish yourself? Shiyu kroveim shel hamalachim shorata boim v'horginoscha? What's going to happen is you are going to incapacitate yourself, and the relatives of the people that you killed when you went to save Lot, the soldiers of the four kings, they're going to come and take and revenge. And you won't be able to run away. So you're putting yourself in danger. He left him. He went to Eshkol. Omer le kach v'kach omer le kodesh baruch. He said to Eshkol, this is what God told me to do. Omer lo, Eshkol, atazokin, you're an old man. Im atatima yetzei mimcha dam harbe. If you perform this operation, a lot of blood, you're going to lose a lot of blood. V'lo tucha lisbol, you won't be able to bear it. V'tamos, you'll die. Hinicho, he left him. V'holach etzel Mamre, he went to Mamre. Omer lo, kach v'kach omer le kodesh baruch. He said, this is what God told me. Mati Atsani, what do you think? What do you think I should do? Omrele Mamre Bedover Hazeh Atom Vakish Eitzah. You want my advice concerning this thing? Halahushit Silchem Mikitshon Eish. God saved you from the fiery furnace. Va'asulecha Kol Anisim. He did for you so many miracles. V'itzilchem in Amalachim. He saved you from the kings. V'ilule Kocho Gvurasu Hayuhorgin Oscha. It wouldn't be for God's strength and power, they would have killed you. The Hitzu Ramach Ivarim Shebechon, he saved your 248 Ivarim, your 248 limbs. And for one small part of one limb, you're asking me advice what you should do. It's obvious what you should do. Aseke mitzvosov, do what God told you. Omra Kodesh Baruch Yisborach, Atosh Nasata Eitzah Shiyomol, you Mamre gave him advice to circumcise himself. I'm not going to appear to him except in your place. So here it's even more clear. Avraham Avinu was asking advice what he should do. And two of them told him, forget about it. This is dangerous. And only Mamre gave him advice that he should go and do what God told him. Lastly, in the Medrash HaGadol, says similar thing. Finally went to Onar Eshkol. They tried to discourage him. Bolo Eitzel Mamre. The Siperlo Hamaseh. He went to Mamre and he told him what God had commanded him. Omerle, Misha Hitzilchom Yurkazdim, the God who saved you from the fiery furnace in Urkazdim. The Hitzilchom Ikamatsoros, he saved you from a lot of dangerous situations. But also in Chakamaniflos, he did many miracles for you. Hu Yochol Raposhal Hitzilchom Ikotsoros. God can save you from every kind of difficulty. And therefore, even if this is going to be dangerous, either because you're putting yourself vulnerable to your enemies, or because you're an old man and this is a dangerous operation, God has the power to heal you and to save you. Do what he told you. Below Ode, and here's the addition in this medrash, Elashani Maschil, I'm going to start. Umol Atz Mitchila, I'm going to circumcise myself first. So I'm going to circumcise me first. The Karel Shem Ben Noach, they called Shem Ben Noach, Umalosam, and he circumcised both of them, Mamre and Avram. Lefichach zoche shetishve shechina b'chelko. That's why Mamre was zoche that the shechina should appear in his part. And Agadas Bereishis also says the same thing with some small changes. And the Medrash Chafet says even more clearly that Onner and Eshkol told him not to circumcise himself because he won't be able to survive. Okay, and only Mamre said that you should not only should you circumcise yourself, I want you to, what's it called, to circumcise me too. Okay, and after that, what's it called, he was circumcised and he mauled Avram. That's that medrash. Okay, in any case, from all these medrashim, we see clearly that it wasn't some kind of medication that we're talking about. Rashi is to be taken literally, that Avram asked advice and was given advice by his three friends. So now, the problem is like this. There are two problems. First of all, the problem that most of the Mefarshim ask, Avraham Avinu needs advice whether he should listen to God or not. I want to add to that. Okay, you're going to ask advice already. Then listen to the advice. Two of them told him not to do it. Only one of them told him to do it. So what did he do? Shop around till he got the answer he wanted to hear? That's the way we ask advice, not the way Avraham asks advice. And more than that, Why weren't Onner and Eshkol punished for giving him bad advice? And in addition, if he's asking advice already, why ask just from these three friends? He went to ask the Rosh Yeshiva, Shem and Aver. They had a big yeshiva. Go ask the Rosh Yeshiva what advice, not your three friends. Could have asked Eliezer. He was a big Talmud Chacham, Eliezer. His star Talmud. Why didn't he ask him? Instead, he went to ask these three Goyim, who happened to be Bali Bris Avra. So the Tosus HaRosh says the following. He says that... now, we'll see one second what he says. But let's start with Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says that Avraham Avinu, the purpose of his advice wasn't to find out what to do. He obviously was going to fulfill this mitzvah. He wanted to make the mitzvah greater by having people try to discourage him. He knew that they wouldn't be able to, what to do. So he wanted to hear all the reasons why he shouldn't do it and do it anyway. So it could be that's the reason he didn't ask Shem and Aver. And he didn't ask Eliezer because he knew they would encourage him. But he knew that his friends maybe would, what's it called, would discourage him. And they would discourage him. They'd give him all the reasons why not to listen. And he would listen anyway. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. I have a problem with that. First of all, that is not necessarily the way to behave. When a person's faced with a Nisayan, he doesn't try to make the Nisayan bigger. He tries to make it smaller. Because we ask the Rabbanim, don't bring us to nisyonos, to tests. Try to minimize the test, not to maximize it. So why would Avraham Avinu go and try to make it harder for himself? He should have tried to go and make it easier. He should have gone to the people who would encourage him and give him chizuk. And secondly, according to that, Mamre didn't accomplish what he wanted. Right? Mamre encouraged him. So why was he rewarded? Right? Just the opposite. The other ones gave Avraham what he wanted. Discouragement. And then the mitzvah was greater, right? So why did he appear to him in Mamre's chelik? Okay. Others say, I don't remember who says it, but I forgot to write it down here, so I'm going to mention it now, though, and just make a mark for myself that I should add it in over here. Others say, Avraham Avinu didn't want to ask advice to find out what he should do. He wanted to test his friends and see where they were holding. And to see if he should continue being their friends or not.
But they weren't Jews.
No, but still, somebody who would advise him not to listen to God is not somebody that he wants to hang around. So he went to them and he tested them out. He felt them out. How are they going to react to this? And therefore, he would then decide to continue to have a connection with them or not. Again, Avraham Avinu is already Bali Bris Avraham. These are people he made a covenant with. He must have known them pretty well, right? That now he wasn't going to test them out after so many years, right, and see if they're worth having connection to. He must have checked them out very nicely. So why all of a sudden now he's checking them out again? The Tosus HaRosh says that there was a specific advice that Avraham Avinu needed. And even though in none of the Midrashim does it mention this, but he says like this. He says that Avraham Avinu started to circumcise the people who were born in his house, who he acquired as slaves or whatever. He had his whole entire household. And they all died at the time of the Milah. And Avraham Avinu was very concerned. And all these people, he's now killing all these people. What should he do? So he went to ask advice from these three people, what's the problem? And Mamre told him, right, it says, Himol Yimol, God, the way God commanded you was with the expression Himol Yimol, which seems to imply that the person who already is circumcised should circumcise the other. The problem is that you haven't circumcised yourself first, and you're circumcising them, that's why they're dying. First circumcise yourself and your son, and then the ones you'll circumcise after will be okay. And that's exactly what happened. The Tosus HaRosh. The Bali HaTosfos, same period of time about, they were Rishonim, they say a little bit differently. They say that he asked advice how he can convince the people of his household to go along with this and to let them submit to circumcision. That was the advice he wanted to know. And the answer was given, first circumcise yourself and your son, and you will be an example to them, and then they'll follow suit. Now, it could be that we can put both of these things together and say the following. It wasn't that Avraham Avinu circumcised them, they actually died. What it means is Avraham Avinu came to them and told them that he's going to have to circumcise them, and they refused. And that's like spiritual death, to refuse to do what God said. So he went to ask, how is he going to save these people from the spiritual death of them refusing? How is he going to convince them to submit to what God said? And that was the answer. You be an example first. First, circumcise yourself and your son, and you'll be a good example, and then they will submit, and they won't be liable to a death penalty or whatever for not submitting. So maybe that can fit together. But Lemaisa, the Medrashim that I read you, don't have a hint of this idea. It seems Avram went and just asked simply about the circumcision itself, not about how to convince the other people to do it or not. The Torah Shlema brings down a commentary called Kavod Chuppah. And he says like this, Avraham Avinu, yes, went to ask advice concerning his own bris milah, but not whether he should do it or not, but where exactly he should perform the mitzvah. Now that's taking into consideration that God didn't tell him specifically what to do. He just told him, what's it called, cut a certain part of your body and didn't know which part. So, Mamre said to him, well, look, there's orla by fruit, by trees, that for 3 years they have to be covered, you can't eat the fruit, and only the fourth year you can eat it, and that's called orla. And God said you should cut the orla. Just like over there, it's in the place where it bears fruit, over here also should be the place where it bears fruit. And that's why Elone Mamre, the Kliyoker says, in the fruit trees of Mamre, because Mamre used the fruit trees to be able to identify where the mitzvah should be. Okay? Very difficult, Sherish also, because it doesn't make sense that God would give Avram a mitzvah and leave out like an important prat of what exactly he's talking about. Right? Where exactly he wants him to make this operation. Right? Not to cut his earlobe or his nose or whatever, right? And Avram doesn't have an idea what in the world we're talking about. Right? And secondly, even if that's true, why does Avram go back to God? Why doesn't he go to Rosh Yeshiva and ask him a shaila? Goes ask his friends, hey, what do you think God meant? Right? What kind of behavior is that? Right? And it's very difficult to kvetch this and squeeze it into the Medrashim, even though maybe we could say that when Avraham Avinu asked them, where do you think this mitzvah is from? They said, well, we think it's from the place that you bear fruit, and you're not going to be able to survive it. You know, if it's just a matter of cutting off your earlobe a little bit, you could do it. But here we're talking about some major surgery. I don't think you can survive. So maybe it could fit if you really try to squeeze it into the words, but that's not what it seems to say in the Medrashim that I quoted you. The Balei HaTosfos say that Avraham Avinu was literally afraid of the suffering he would have to go through. And even though he passed other nisyonos, other tests, but they didn't involve terrible physical pain. And there is a source that physical pain, right, not contained, but it could be, what's it called, physical pain that extends over an extended amount of time is worse than being killed. There's a Tosfos that says that even though the halacha is that somebody threatens to kill you or you have to serve idolatry, you have to give your life, but if they threaten to torture you, could be you're allowed to serve the idolatry. Because torture is worse than death. Being killed is the pain, whatever, lasts for a few seconds. Torture could be, what's it called, extended. And therefore it could be that the Torah didn't demand that you not serve idolatry, obviously not believing in it, just giving in physically, right, in a case where you're faced with torture. So there is such an idea that torture, physical suffering, is worse even than death. And Avraham Avinu said, I'm a 100-year-old person, I can't take the pain, and I'm afraid it's going to be too much suffering. And on that, Eshkol and Onner told him, you're right. not only are you going to suffer, you're going to be vulnerable, and maybe this is not a mitzvah that you can do. Right? God said you should do it, but there's also a halacha that pikuach nefesh, you know, it's for you, it's pikuach nefesh. And Mamre told him, what are you talking about pikuach nefesh? You're living a charmed life. God has saved you from everything. If he wants you to do this, then do it. But again, we're back to the question. I mean, why did he ask these three people? And did Avraham Avinu really have a doubt whether he should do the mitzvah or not? And he needed this goyish, a friend of his, to tell him to do it? The Tamei HaMenogim says a cute idea. In Rashi, you could say it, not in the Midrashim, again. In Rashi it says, Hu shenosin lo eitza al hamila. He's the one who gave him advice on the mila. He says, what it means like this, Avraham didn't know what bracha to make on the mila. There's two possible nuschos of the bracha that Gemara mentions. Lamul, to circumcise, Asher k'dishon stos yivonu lamul, or Asher k'dishon stos yivonu al hamila. Sometimes you make a bracha al, right, and sometimes le, right? For instance, by matzah, al achilas matzah. But shofar is lishmoa kol shofar, not al shmias. So some brachas are al, and some brachas are le. So Avraham wasn't sure, should I say le or al? So he went to ask advice, right, al hamila, and he told him he should say al. And in the Pardes Yosef, there's a whole pilpul of how it fits in, even what they said to him or whatever, when you make the bracha le and al, and what were the circumstances with Avraham Avinu, and made a whole pilpul out of it. But in the Midrashim, it really doesn't fit. And also, why would he go ask his Gaish friend what bracha to make when he has Rosh Hashiva, Shem and Aver, to go ask? He also has another pilpul over there of what the eighth advice was. It says that Avraham Avinu's bris was on Yom Kippur. So he wasn't sure if he should desecrate Yom Kippur to make his bris, especially it wasn't a bris on the eighth day. So he wanted to know, maybe he shouldn't do it himself, he should do it through the agency of a non-Jew who's not chayiv in Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. So that's why he went to ask his non-Jewish friends, maybe they want to mal him, which in the end, one of the Midrashim says that's what happened. And there's a whole pilpul of, should he have done this way, that way, or whatever. Okay, in any case, all these are very nice. Most of them do not fit into the simple reading of the Midrashim. So what happened over here? So I want to say the following. First of all, I have another explanation of this, which I'm not going to tell you today. But if you want to look it up in my book, Outlooks and Insights, so in this week's Sedra, I think it's in this week's Sedra, there is another whole approach to what this advice was. Okay? You can look it up there. What I want to say today is something completely different. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph. This first Mishnah in the second chapter of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says like this, Ezehu derech yishara sheyavur lo ha'adam. What is the straight path that a person should choose for himself? Kol shi tiferes la'oseha, whatever will bring glory to the one who does it, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and glory from people. Now, there are two ways of explaining what this Mishnah is talking about. Okay, there are many, many Mefarshim, but they all split into two basic general explanations. One is the proper way of straight way in this world is to take two things in consideration when you do whatever you do, especially mitzvahs. Is it a glory la'oseha to God? Are you doing it in a way That's the way God wants you to do it? You're doing it with all the conditions of the mitzvah in the proper way between you and God? Utiferes lo min ha'adam also is going to bring you glory from people. Are you doing it in a way that people will also see the glory of the mitzvah? In other words, you may want to run to shul, right, and be a zoriz and be enthusiastic about davening, but you will step on some people's toes as you're running. So that will bring you perhaps glory from God because you're really running to shul, but it's not going to bring you glory from people because you're stepping on their toes. So you have to take two considerations. Firstly, is this the way the mitzvah should be done between me and God? And then to see that it also accommodates that people see the glory of the mitzvah too. Two considerations. First, God, but then to also take into consideration of people. That's one way of learning the Mishnah. Second way is, Tiferes le'oseha means glory for the person who's doing the mitzvah. glory to you and glory from people. Meaning the following, that you should do a mitzvah and it should be something that the mitzvah itself gives you glory, gives you strength, and also you should be able to get strength from people in doing the mitzvah. In other words, we're not talking about the result of the mitzvah, the effect of the mitzvah. We're talking that which will give you the power to do the mitzvah. You get the power from doing something that is a tiferes, and also how people will encourage you. Take your glory from people and from the mitzvah itself that you're doing. And that will give you the incentive and the power to be able to do the mitzvah better. Okay. So we're talking both about the effect of the mitzvah, bringing to glory from God and from people, and the incentive and impetus of the mitzvah coming from yourself, the way you do it, and how people are going to encourage you to do it also. Get your encouragement from people. Based on this, Avram has a mitzvah. He wants to do the mitzvah in the most perfect way. That's what tiferes is. Tiferes, I translated glory, but tiferes means the perfection of something. Tiferes is the midah of Yaakov Avinu, Torah, emes. It's a combination of din and rachamim. It's the perfection of everything, right? It includes everything together in truth, and that's what Torah is. So you want to do the mitzvah in the most perfect, true way, okay? The total truth of what the mitzvah represents. So in order to do that, you have to make sure that the mitzvah is going to have the proper, perfect effect, both between you and God and between you and man, and that in order to do it so perfectly, you're going to need the incentive both from people and from the way that you do it. So all four considerations are necessary. Therefore, the Rav Elimeir Bloch brings from his uncle, Rav Zalman Sirotzky. I saw it in the name of my Rebbe also, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, same idea. Avram Avinu had a bris with these people, a covenant. That means that they had a mutual agreement that if any of them were in danger, the other one would come to their aid. Okay, and that's why when Avram went out to fight the kings, Onur, Eshkol, and Mamre went with him. They had this covenant, right? So now he's going to do something, a mitzvah, which he's going to do. He has no question of doing it or not, but it's going to affect his friends. Because if he dies, or if he is vulnerable, then they may be attacked too, and he's not going to be able to help them. So he has a moral responsibility at least to go and let his friends know what he's doing. It may not make any difference whether he's going to do it or not, but when you do a mitzvah, it has to be good for people too, not just between you and God. And you have a responsibility to these people to let them know, and perhaps to do it in a way that they don't have complaints against you, but you explain to them or whatever. And I was thinking, that's why it says, where do we know that Avram went to ask advice? How did the Medrashim know this? So one Medrash says, because it says, V'hein ba'alei bris Avram. They are the sons of the covenant of Avram. Right? They are the members of the covenant of Avram. But what do you see from there? He asked advice. That's exactly the point. He asked the advice because since they had a covenant, he had a moral responsibility to inform them what was going to be and to try to make it good with them too. That they should not have complaints against his mitzvah. And therefore I was thinking, that's why in some of the Midrashim, not in all of them, it doesn't say, after Onur and Eshkol told him, this is a dangerous thing, you're going to die, you're going to make yourself vulnerable or whatever, Ozav, he left them. It doesn't say Ozav, it says Hinicho. Hinicho can mean he put him down, left him, right? But it could also mean, Lohaniach means to appease somebody. Hiniach Daito. Avram heard Onur and Eshkol's reservations, and it affected them, and he appeased him. He talked to him. He explained to him, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Mamre didn't even have any reservations. Mamre encouraged him. That's why he got a reward. The other ones had legitimate reservations, Lagavi themselves. If you're going to do this, it's going to affect us. So Avraham Avinu wasn't going to not do what he did because of what they said. But he had to appease them. He had to speak to them. He had to make it good, not only in God's eyes, he had to make it good in people's eyes too. Okay. So that's one idea. In addition, the Maharal says, and these are all in the law along the same ideas, what I'm telling you is, all of these things are true, and they all, why did Avram ask advice? Because he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah in the most positive, honest, what's it called, emesa way, perfect way, tiferes. How do you do that? By making sure that you're doing it the exact way God wants, that people also see the glory of the mitzvah, and that you get the incentive both from people and from the way you do the mitzvah. So to fulfill all of that, he went and asked his friends too. So the first idea is to make sure that they would see the mitzvah in a positive light, even though they could see it in a very negative light because it affected them negatively. Secondly, the Maharal says that he went and asked advice from his friends that they shouldn't say later, he only did this because he did it on the impulse. If he had asked advice, he would have not done it. And then it wouldn't have brought that same glory from people who would have been inspired from Avram Avinu. Look what he did. They would have said, yeah, he did it on impulse. So he went to Dafka to ask advice that later on they couldn't say that. What difference would it make? Difference would be what kind of glory it brought from people. People would say, wow, Avram Avinu did this tremendous thing, and they would be inspired by it. Yeah. Yeah, but he went and did it anyway. And they couldn't say anymore he did it on impulse because you see that he asked advice.
Yeah, but they could say that because two of them said not to do it and right.
Right. So, but he didn't do it on impulse. He did it after he thought about it, whatever. He disagreed with him. But he didn't do it impulsively. Mm-hmm. He did it after it well thought out. So he disagreed with us. But they couldn't complain that he did it. It was just an impulsive thing. It didn't mean anything because he didn't really think this out and... But you see, he did think it out, and he did it anyway. So that makes it a much, much better thing. The Biur Ma'amorim, a commentary on the Medrash Tanchuma, says that Avraham Avinu had the following question. Should I do this privately, or should I do it publicly? There's a mile in each way. If I do it privately, I'm not going to make that impression on people, but maybe because I'll do it privately, I'll do it with a greater kavana, less problem of what's it called, of gaiva, right? Be more tzanua, so my relationship with God will be enhanced, but the tiferes lo min ha'adam, the glory coming from people, will be minimized. Or maybe no, I should betafka do this publicly and bring more glory from people, but it may minimize my hatznei aleches, my tznias in the matter, and minimize and mitigate and compromise the way it's between me and God. So since I have to take both things into consideration, he went to ask his friends what they see, how does it make a difference if he does this publicly or privately, which is a possibility. And they tried to discourage him not doing it at all. And Mamre told him, no, this is going to be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, right? Because God is going to save you, do it publicly. The Bali Atosis add another dimension, all along the same lines. All these commentaries fit into this idea that I'm telling you. Avraham Avinu said, maybe I shouldn't do this immediately. I should wait with it. Why? Until I'll be settled here in the land, and then it'll make much more of an impression on the inhabitants of the land. Because right now I'm just a stranger. I haven't yet settled here. So people aren't going to be impressed and affected by what I do as much as when I'm already settled and they get to know me or whatever. And Mamre told him, what's it called? Be azaris. Do it quickly. Don't wait for the better effect for later. Better to do it between you and God with Zrizus and concentrate on the Tiferes Li Oseho, how it's going to be more glorified between you and God than waiting on it so you'll have more. People will be impressed anyway. The Tur, Ala Torah, says that same similar idea. Since many other people volunteered to circumcise themselves. Plain people. When Avram circumcised and his whole family did, there are people who joined the family and decided they want to circumcise themselves too. They want to be circumcised too. And now the leaders, the important people would have tainus. What's this guy doing? He's making some kind of revolution over here. What are these people all naming themselves? So in order they shouldn't have tainus, he went and asked advice from these three goyim so they would be involved in the process. And once they're involved in the process, they can't have complaints later on.
Except if they said no.
Okay, even though they said no, but according to what I said before, Hinicho, Avraham Avinu tried to appease them and explain to them that it was okay. So in the end, they gave their blessing, according to the, I'm saying, according to the way I'm learning it, right? Mm-hmm. According to this. The Vilna Gaon says the following. He says, Avraham Avinu was concerned that this was going to compromise his whole life's purpose. Meaning, till now, Avraham Avinu was Megayer Gerim. He went and converted the men, and Sarah converted the women. And now he has a problem. If everybody brings into his household, now he's going to have circumcision. That's going to discourage a lot of people from... That's why early Christianity negated circumcision. Right? Because they wanted to convert. First, they thought they were going to convert the whole Jewish people to Christianity. And when they saw that wasn't happening, the Jewish people were not interested in believing some guy, whatever. So they went to the Goyim. This was what Paul changed Christianity. And the first thing they changed is that circumcision of the heart, not of the body. Because otherwise they'd have no chance of converting the masses if they had to have conversion, if they had to have circumcision. So Avraham was afraid that was going to happen now. I'm going to compromise my whole life's goal of converting everybody because they're not going to convert. Maybe therefore it's better, you know, not to do this. Because in the long run I'm going to gain more for God. So Mamre, so the other ones told him, you know, maybe you want, you're looking for an excuse. It's pikuach nefesh. So maybe you shouldn't do it, Taka. It's pikuach nefesh. And if you can't do it, then maybe the other one shouldn't do it either. But Mamre told him, what are you talking about? Don't make cheshbonos. Do what God told you and don't try to figure out what's going to be better for God. Let God decide what's better for God. Mm-hmm. You're doing this for the sake of the Rabbanim, so do what he told you. Don't try to make cheshbonos like the conservative made in America when they came. They said, well, orthodoxy is dying. It's impossible that people are going to keep all of this. So let's compromise and we'll do it for God's sake. We'll let men and women sit together in shul. More people come to shul. We'll let them drive to shul. More people come to shul. We're doing it for God's sake. So the answer to that is, let God decide what he wants. Right? Don't do him any favors. Do what he said. Don't make cheshbonos. It's the same idea. Okay? And maybe, therefore, he came and asked advice how he should do this mitzvah, maybe in a way that won't affect the gear. Maybe we should cut off earlobes, right? And that won't be so terrible, or whatever. Okay. And the Chedushe Harim says, and the Shvemi Shmuel, similar idea, Avraham was afraid not so much of the conversion process. He was afraid that he wouldn't be able to influence people. Because until now, he could influence them because he was like them. But now he's going to be different than them. And maybe being different than them is going to impede his ability to influence them. That was what he's afraid of. And Mamre told him, no, you're a person who lives l'mala min ateva, anyway, separated from people. God deals with you different than he deals with everybody else. And still you've been able to influence these people. And just the opposite. The way to influence people is not to come down to their level and be palsy-walsy. It's to give them something to look up to, right? To be, I always say, a rabbi, parents the same thing. In America, there's a philosophy that parents have to be friends of their children, right? But then you're denying your children parents. They have two more friends, but they're orphans. Or there are rabbis who think that they have to be friends of their congregation. You know, let's go, what's it called, we'll go to bowling together and whatever, we're friends. So then they have a friend, they don't have a rabbi. You have to be, parents have to be friendly. And a rabbi has to be friendly. He can't be your friend. He has to be somebody who's separated that you can look up to and strive for rather than somebody that's shoulder to shoulder with you. An authority figure has to have a certain separation. So they told him just the opposite. The fact that you'll be different and separated will be a positive thing. Shaloh HaKadosh sums it up a little bit, and he says, we learn from here that it's good to ask advice how to do a mitzvah in the best possible way. In other words, Avraham Avinu was going to do the mitzvah, but he wanted to hear feedback from his friends as to how it's going to affect them. Maybe he could get some feedback from them that will help him and encourage him. And that's the way you're supposed to do a mitzvah. Involve other people both to know how it affects them and for your sake, that it will encourage you. So all of these pshatim fit that idea. And that fits with the following medrash, to sum everything up. The medrash says, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said, Limedcha Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah taught you Derech Eretz. Shiyas other mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, have a osos of a leiv sameach. Do it with a good heart, a happy heart. Because if Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to write that he tried to save Yosef, he would have put him on his shoulders and run home. And if Aaron would have known the Torah was going to write that he came and he was happy when he saw Moshe after he was chosen to be the Redeemer, he would have come with a parade. And if Boaz would have known that the Megillah was going to write that he gave Ruth some parched wheat, he would have given her a banquet. What does it mean? If they would have known they're getting publicity, they would have done it better. And where's the Derech Eretz? Derech Eretz usually means how you affect other people, right? Derech Eretz to other people. That's exactly the point. The point is, when you do a mitzvah, don't only consider it your own personal thing, but you're affecting other people. If they would have known this was going to be written in the Torah and it would have been something that all generations are going to learn from, then you do the mitzvah in a way that's tiferes lo le'osera. It's good between you and God, but it's also good between you and man. How's it going to affect them? That's derech eretz. The way it affects people is if they see that you're doing it with a tremendously good heart. You're besimcha. That's what affects other people. That's the derech eretz. Don't just have a good heart. Let people see your good heart when you do it. That's the difference. What's the difference if Aaron was happy in his heart or he brought a parade? The difference is, how do other people see it? They see the parade. They don't see what's going on in your heart. So you have to take in consideration how it affects other people too. That's called derech eretz. And that's exactly the point that we're saying here. Avram Avinu went to ask advice so he could do the mitzvah in the most perfect way. Part of the consideration is, how's it going to affect other people? How's it going to affect my friends? How's it going to affect the world in general? All of those other things that we mentioned fit into that pattern. That was the idea of Avram Avinu asking advice from his closest friends. He wasn't looking for advice to do it or not. He would have gone as Rosh Yeshiva. He was asking, going to see Tzavka, how's it going to affect my immediate friends? How are they going to see it? And how can I appease them and make them see it in a proper way, make a bigger Kiddush Hashem, and how can I benefit from their input to do the mitzvah in a better way too? Because that also helps me do the mitzvah, input from other people. That's what I think this parsha is. I also think it's something else if you read the book.